RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. This week, Josh, I was thinking we were going to talk about Curtis's balls. No, I'm sorry. What did he call them again? T-spheres.
The T-spheres, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought they were terrific.
They were pretty neat. Oh, I see. Terrific. Right. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were Arrow. No. So I got nowhere to go with that.
That's okay. Probably best that we just stop.
So this week's episode, I think, was overall, I thought it was pretty interesting. Well, I guess it answered a question we've been having for a while and opened up a whole another slew of questions that I didn't even know I had.
Well, to me, that means it's a good episode.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I thought it was actually a pretty good episode. It dealt with a number of things. It took a number of the disparate storylines and kind of, you know, started moving things forward with them. And like I said, it answered like the big question of the season: who is the bad guy? Then of course they are going to go away for a week here.
Lots of mayoral time for Oliver this week. Did we, other than the flashbacks, did we see Oliver in the Green Arrow suit this week?
Ah, you know, good question. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was only in that flashback. Because there was,
and
it
he
was
had on his
team.
Original hood from season one.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it was a season one outfit. Yeah, he wasn't even dressed up to threaten anybody in this one.
I wonder how often that has happened in this series.
Maybe I know we've only seen him once before.
We've seen him in the League of Assassins garb, as opposed to the Arrow suit. But interesting. That just occurred to me. We didn't even see him, but
that was one of the things. I was never keeping track of that. I was keeping track of lots of different cameos and other things that were happening in the shows, but that was not one of them. So, well, why don't you tell everybody about what episode we're going to be talking about this week, and I'll go change out of my green hood since we didn't need it this week.
All right. You take that off. Don't hit the mic when you pull it off over your head. All right. Well,
sorry.
This was episode 15 of season 5. Fighting Fire with Fire. It just doesn't sound safe. It aired March 1st, 2017, and it was written by Speed Weed and Ben Sokolowski, directed by Michael Schultz. Now, if your mayoral administration begins to go up in flames, we'll light a match, because it's time to start fighting this fire with some fire of your own. There's a lot of fire in that sentence. Well,
flame on!
Yeah, I know. Firestorm wasn't even on this in this episode or anything.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know what? So you got to fight fire with fire sometime. Unless, you know, you got a hose or something. That sometimes works too.
Dirt.
Because there's always there's a dirt, yeah, a blanket. There's always got to be another way. After the news of the cover-up from Detective Malone's murder, Oliver's facing an impeachment hearing that could get him kicked right out of office. That stuff goes really fast in Star City. It doesn't take a long time to get those proceedings going, but
oh no, they I think they have everything lined up. It's like, got a new mayor. Is he dead yet? No. We need to impeach him. You know, it's
actually
like,
that makes a lot of sense in Star City.
Those are the two avenues. It's like death seems to be common because the impeachment hasn't happened since, what, like 1890 or something like that?
Yeah, it was a really long time ago. So all I wondered when they said that was, I wonder what he did. So, well, anyway, Oliver's facing an impeachment hearing. Could get him kicked out of office. Now, Adrian offers to take the fall for him. But Oliver asks him to represent him instead. Athea is ready to use Felicity's Pandora information to blackmail the man who has the swing vote on the impeachment. But Oliver asks her to forget dirty politics. Every time he tries to play it clean, it looks worse and worse for him. But then his limo gets attacked by vigilante. And Dinah finds an important clue that Curtis can use to track down the big nuisance with his newly created T-spheres. Trademark, copyright, Mr. Terrific. Now, Oliver only sees one way out of this mess, and that's publicly disavowing the Green Arrow. He almost said Green Lantern. That's not going to do him any good at all to publicly disavow Green Lantern.
No.
I don't even know who Green Lantern is. So, no, he's going to disavow Green Arrow. But he does this while trusting the rest of the team to save his life when Vigilante goes all, well, you know, Vigilante, and tries to assassinate the mayor.
That's what happens when you live up to your name, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, now the public sees Oliver as a hero. He gets to keep his office. His girlfriend suddenly understands. It looks pretty good. Until you see that it's balanced out by Thea quitting, Felicity deciding to get closer to her Pandora gifting friends Helix, and the reveal that Prometheus is none other than Rasa, the Queen's Russian maid.
I knew it!
Nah, just kidding. Oh. Really, it's Adrian Chase. And he's about to have a little chat with Susan Williams.
I got to say, the actor that plays Adrian Chase, just the way he delivers the lines there at the end, he's got like a little tick in his cheek as he's talking and stuff. I mean, that I'm sure that's probably one of those dream jobs for an actor. It's like to be able to just kind of chew the scenery like that, be the bad guy and intimidate somebody like that. So.
You know, all I have on my notes here as I'm watching is Adrian, Susan. He's scary. he freaked me out in that scene.
He plays it really, really intense. The tone, like he's got that, clenched jaw. Josh Segarra is the actor's name. So, I've never seen him on anything before, but I think he's doing a really good job here. And of course, we've talked about it previously. he seems really likable as Adrian Chase. So I felt that this was a pretty interesting episode where they revealed the truth and everything. Quick bit of news, as I mentioned earlier. Arrow, because of the big reveal this week, it always seems like they take a short pause when they reveal something like this. But they will be off next week, and they will return on March 15th. Next week, I don't know why they're off. It's just a rerun.
Just 1 week, though, huh?
Yeah, just 1 week.
Okay.
So we'll be off next week.
The chest, and you have like 2 months off. But reveal of Prometheus, and that's just 1 week.
Right. Just to get everyone to regather their bearings, and then they'll be back. Showing a repeat of Second Chances, which I think was like two or three episodes ago.
My guess, and I have no idea, but Flash was off a week for something. I can't even remember what it was.
Election? No.
Anyway, Flash was off 1 week, and so they aren't synced up, and yeah. I don't know that they necessarily have to sync them up, but maybe they want the finales in the same week or something like that. But it may just be to sync up the series, you know.
I think that I think you're right actually, because then they're going to take the last. Well, they probably will have one more break, this is the 15th episode, so there are. Seven more episodes of Arrow, and I don't know that Flash would go a straight eight episodes here at the end, but who knows? There may be a break like end of April or something like that.
Yeah, where they're both off or something.
Like spring break week, something around there. So we'll see how that goes. All right. So yes, Prometheus has been revealed. And I'm going to say we called it, but I think we pretty much discussed the possibility of it being everybody on the show at one point or another. So I'm not going to pat myself on the back too much. What were your thoughts about the revelation? Really surprised, shocked, not surprised?
Was I really surprised? I'll say it was a good surprise. I don't know if, I was like shocked. I mean, I didn't, I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I really did think Adrian Chase was Vigilante. So, yes. That was my initial thought, but, yeah, I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised by who it ended up being. And now that I know that, it kind of makes it, it makes me think about it more. It makes me anticipate the rest of the season more. Now I think they've got a lot of different places they can go with it now that we know who it is. Before, it was almost like they had to really make a lot of effort to keep it secret.
Right, right. Well, this goes on to explain some of the things like that was weird that I mentioned the other week when Adrian got shot and Oliver told him not to come out of the hotel room or out of the hospital room.
Uh-huh.
And we see Vigilante show up and he didn't appear to be favoring one arm or the other, which would make sense because Vigilante is not Adrian Chase. And we hadn't seen Prometheus at that point. So what surprised me, even though it was something that we had discussed the possibility of, I guess I hadn't thought through a number of the ramifications until I saw this episode and saw the reveal. And then that made me go and, because it was now a real thing that this is the way it is, it made me instantly start running all of the Adrian Chase scenes through my mind and thinking about what we've seen with this character. How was he acting in this particular episode? Before the reveal, it seems really strange that he's like taking this piece of visor. It's very overt that he is, let me just take that back. I'm the DA. So I really shouldn't have anything to do with this police investigation, on the level of, let me take that piece of evidence for you. But he does, he knows exactly why he wants it, because he's Vigilante, but it seems like it's a setup. But one thing that stuck out to me as I was kind of doing some research and looking back through previous appearances, I think Adrian Chase first appeared in episode 3 of this season. And at this point, I was shocked to remind myself that we had had a number of episodes with the criminal, the black criminal that was running the guns and stuff. Oh, I've completely forgotten his name now.
Oh, Tobias Church?
Yeah. Tobias Church. I'm like, yeah, that's right. We had all these things with him before we really got into the Prometheus stuff. But in episode 503, which was A Matter of Trust, Adrian joked about his and Oliver's past, because this is where we first meet them, and Oliver reminds Adrian that he stole his girlfriend or something like that. And Adrian at that point assured Oliver that he didn't hold grudges. That line takes on a whole new meaning now, given the fact that he's Prometheus. He is like the king of grudges. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, and it might have a lot to do with what's going on, why he's doing all this.
Right.
Is it his grudge? I mean, whatever the grudge was, I don't even know if it had anything to do with his girlfriend. We need to see some backstory from Adrian Chase now.
Right. And that's the thing. The questions are, is Adrian Chase the bastard son of this businessman that got killed and he just changed his name? Or is that son, because they went and talked to the mom, what was it, last week? The mother of who they thought Prometheus was.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I'm not going to give up my boy. I'm not going to tell you anything about him. Whatever he's doing it for a good reason. It's almost as if she knew that her son was doing something. So maybe her son, whoever this guy is the Vigilante, and, you know, Adrian Chase's Prometheus. At, I almost feel like I need to go back and watch, like, the previous, you know, I don't know, like 10 episodes, except that I only want to watch the Adrian Chase parts of the episodes, just to, and the Prometheus parts. So, like, fast forward through all the other stuff that I don't care about seeing again.
Well, there you go. You can do that.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it would be a lot easier if someone would just, you know, cut together a video of all this and I could just go watch it on YouTube then. So, but, so as I mentioned, Adrian says that he'll take the piece of the visor that broke off of Vigilante during the fight with the stunt, with the amazing stunt of the limo flipping, which that just blew me away. If there's nothing else I can say about this episode, and I think there's a lot of other good stuff that happened this episode, that stunt was, again, raising the bar for stunts that they do on the show. It was just really cool.
It was phenomenal. See, that's why. They took the laundry bill for the Green Arrow suit this week, and they used it toward that limo stunt. And that's why the suit wasn't on this week, see, because they didn't wash it.
Oh, I see. So instead of paying the money to clean the suit, they paid for the limo stunt.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Got it.
I think that worked out for them.
Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely worthwhile. So Adrian takes the visor piece and puts it into evidence. Well, no, he doesn't put it into evidence. He takes it back to the office, and Dinah is like, she'll figure out a way to get it. And he walks by and sets it on the desks, and then he goes and talks to, I think it was Pike, Captain Pike, that he was talking to.
And from Star Trek?
No.
Okay, gotcha.
The ACU. Pike doesn't talk. He just boop.
Oh, boop, right.
Beeps the light and stuff like that.
Well, that would have been better during the hearings.
No, you're getting me off track now.
I'm sorry.
And then Dinah walks by in the background and picks up the little baggie with the visor piece so that Curtis can do all the stuff he needs to do to help track it and stuff. And we see Adrian glance over, and I feel like he smiled a little bit, like he knew exactly what he was doing there. So my question to you is, why do you think he let Dinah take this piece of the visor? What's in it for him?
Well, I'm assuming that, I mean, now that we know Adrian Chase is Prometheus, that he knows pretty much everything about Oliver and Green Arrow and the team, and even Dinah, I would guess. And so, and he's not a fan of Vigilante, which we found out in this episode. That's the one fight we did get of people that were masked. That was not the only one, but I mean, Oliver wasn't fighting. It was Vigilante versus Prometheus. And so he might have given it to him to get Vigilante out of the way, hoping that the team would take care of him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was the only reason that I could think of. After knowing who Adrian Chase was, that's the only reason I can think that he would do that.
Okay. Well, maybe he and Vigilante have some other backstory that, you know, fits together.
Like they know each other or something?
Yeah, there may be something more between Prometheus and Vigilante as well, which is why Vigilante happened to show up at the same time that Prometheus showed up. Or relatively close, you know?
Right.
And as you pointed out, since Adrian Chase is Prometheus, and we know Prometheus has been mining Evelyn for information on who everyone working with Oliver is and knows all this backstory, there's a good chance that he does know who Dinah is as well, even though she's relatively new and Evelyn never met her or anything like that. But it means that going back through this entire season, every time Adrian Chase is talking to Oliver, the mayor, he knows that that's the Green Arrow. So, yeah. I mean, it's a very schizophrenic setup, because here he is on one hand, and in this episode he says, Oliver, I'm your friend. you know, meanwhile, Prometheus is like, I'm going to, you know, destroy your life and all this stuff. It's interesting, and I do want to find out more. I have not been completely disappointed by stuff going on this season. So I am cautiously optimistic that the reveal will be as good as other stuff that we've seen so far this season. You follow me on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I very much so. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, because there was more questions that I have at the end of this episode. I got answered some, but there were more questions that made it entertaining to me. I'm having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So the choice that Oliver is kind of put in at the end, and it's a decision that he makes, but I get kind of a Palpatine moment, an Emperor Palpatine moment with Adrian Chase, because he's like, no, you know, let me throw myself to the wolves. You know, you can destroy my career. And Oliver's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And Chase is presenting all the stuff. He knows how Oliver works. And so he's presenting him, Chase, as an option. He knows Oliver's not going to take that. And so the only avenue left open is to, you know, destroy the Green Arrow in public, which again is just working right into Chase's motives. It's all proceeding as I have foreseen it. You know, it's creepy how this guy has, you know, been very single-minded. At least something happened, you know, whatever it was 4 or 5 years ago. And this guy decided to go get trained, take some training from Talia, presumably at some point, and then, you know, come up with this persona and just try to destroy Oliver's life. It's really weird. But so he's got to come out against the Green Arrow, and basically we're back to, season 3, I think, where Green Arrow was a fugitive from justice again. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how is this going to work on the show if you've got Prometheus running around, everyone, you know, thinks that he's throwing Starkiller, right? Because that's how he's been portrayed in the news. There's this vigilante who is shooting up people. I don't know if the general public is how knowledgeable they are about that. I don't know what kind of press he's been getting, but obviously it's somebody the police are looking to question as well. And now the mayor has said that Green Arrow is also on the list. So is he just not going to operate? And he didn't operate, like we said, in this episode. Is he just going to let the team go out and do things, or are they going to be suspect as well? Because the ACU knows that they operate with the Green Arrow. So they would automatically, you know, kind of be persons of interest as well.
Oh, I didn't think about the team in those terms. They're not. That's a good question. I mean, I was going to say they're not suspects in that murder, but they do work with them all the time. I don't know. That's a really good question. Does the ACU know that they work together? I guess they would have to, wouldn't they?
Oh, the Pike knows it because they were all fighting with Green Arrow at the cemetery last week when they were stopping the three women.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I mean, I guess in real life they would be. I mean, they'd be, what do you call it when you are working with a known bad guy?
Cahoots?
Conspirators. Yeah, I guess so.
In cahoots?
That's the official name. That's what goes on the court records. yeah, wait, I didn't even think about the team. Dang. I'm just worried about how Green Arrow is going to be operating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If at all, you know, and unless, I mean, I guess the idea would be that he wouldn't, you know, want to be dishonest and forge more documents or, uh-huh. you know, cover something up again. But maybe somehow the truth will be known about what happened.
Yeah.
And then he has a little bit more freedom to operate.
I mean, the show's about Arrow and him, you know, fighting bad guys and stuff. And if you, you know, I mean, I don't think they're not going to have Oliver be Green Arrow, you know, for some episodes. It's just, I'm just wondering how logistically the show's going to handle this. So I'm interested to see that. So I also had a question then. Susan seemed a little weird to me, again,
me too.
After this. So let me just put this out there and talk this through. And then I want to get your opinion on this to see if maybe I'm just misinterpreting something. Susan, starts dating Oliver. She finds him attractive, but she's doing some digging, in the background, and she finds out a bunch of information. She believes then that based on a tattoo Oliver has and some background photos and information she got, that Oliver, the coincidence that Oliver and a character that looks like the Green Arrow or the Vigilante were in Russia at the same time, the coincidence is too high, and he is most likely the Green Arrow. So she confronts him on it. Her career then gets squashed by some mysterious hacker who plants a bunch of stuff. She blames Oliver because if he is the Green Arrow, then of course he would plant this stuff on her. But he keeps denying it. Then the mysterious hacker comes out and it basically apologizes, and she gets her job back, which that happened way too quickly for me.
Hey, everything goes fast in Star City. Come on.
I know. And then Oliver comes out and says that the Green Arrow is a menace and he's got to be put down and stuff. So I felt like Susan, I wasn't sure if Susan had believed Oliver in saying that he wasn't the Green Arrow or if she still believed it and thought he was just lying. And then in this episode, she comes out and is like, okay, well, I'm going to keep your secret. It's like she still believes he's the Green Arrow, but even though he's now said that the Green Arrow is this menace, she seems like okay with it. I felt like she would think that he's a bad guy because she didn't know about the murder, I don't think. And now he said that, yeah, the Green Arrow killed this Billy Malone. And so she knows he's lying now, but wasn't lying. I don't know. I'm not sure what to believe with her. I also feel like
either.
She fits into this. She's Vigilante. No, that's not right. It's just her reactions to things just don't sit right with me. There's something else going on, and I can't just say that, you know, it's because she's a poor actress. I don't think that's the case.
No, I think that's who the character is. I think she's portraying the character the way it is. This character just seems so untrustworthy. And now we know more about her than Oliver does, you know, because we've seen her do some kind of shady things with people behind the shadows, you know, getting pictures of him and investigating, you know, when he doesn't know about it. But even to him, like you said, you know, he sees her at these hearings and she's very cold to him. And she doesn't even have any evidence that he did this stuff. She
right.
believes that he's Green Arrow, but she's, you know, she doesn't have proof. He never admitted it to her. And she just has some pictures and some pretty good connections, but nothing. But she's not letting him explain. She's not letting him prove himself. I don't know. She just doesn't seem like a very nice person.
That's because she's popular. It's because she used to star in a show called Popular.
Well, it works for. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. It just seems kind of weird. And at the end, when she's kind of apologizing or whatever, he still doesn't ever – he doesn't admit that he's Green Arrow. She does seem to just kind of assume that he is, but he never really admits it.
She says she'll keep his secret. And I'm assuming that, you know, like now, you know, because she's got her job back, like everything's just okay now. I feel like we've jumped too many steps. Maybe it was writing, you know, a writing issue for this or something like that. So, but yeah, something's not sitting right there. And, you know, maybe it's, I think I might have suggested this before. Maybe she, well, I think I suggested she was a sibling to Prometheus and was part of his plan. But when it was the weird, mysterious guy that Oliver killed 4 years ago and then the mother and stuff, that didn't seem to work out. But if it's Adrian Chase, like, she could be Adrian Chase's sister or something like that and be part of the plan to come at him as well. I don't know. So
yeah, and we don't really know. I mean, he did seem creepy at the end when he confronted her or met her at her car, but we really don't know what happened after that yet.
Right. Yeah, that scene does put the fact that they're working together, that kind of breaks the idea for that, because it seems like he knows that that's Oliver's girlfriend and stuff like that. Or, well, he's probably known this, but he's going to use her as leverage now to get at Oliver the mayor, knowing that Green Arrow can't come in and stop him. So, I guess we'll see what happens with that. With Vigilante, something I noticed this episode, and I think this is true with the previous visits or appearances of Vigilante. Vigilante seems to disappear mysteriously very quickly. So, but we saw it more times in this one. So let's see. Vigilante attacks the mayor's motorcade, and Oliver says, "Come on, shoot me!" And he starts shooting at him. Oliver jumps over the car, and when he looks back up, Vigilante is just like gone. I mean, there really wasn't anywhere to go, but he was gone. Vigilante gets thrown off the roof by Prometheus, and Prometheus looks over and we don't see a body, but it's like an 8-story drop.
Right.
Then there's the firefight that they're having in the abandoned building across the street from City Hall, which is, well, I guess it wasn't an abandoned building. I guess they were just working on that one floor. But the T-Sphere explodes. Everyone's blinded, looks away for a second, and when they look back, Vigilante is gone. This seems important that Vigilante can kind of just disappear on a whim. And I'm not like trying to insinuate that it's like a meta or anything like that, but this seems like a character trait that is going to be used to help identify is leading us to postulate who this character might be. And I wanted to see if you had any insight or if you had even thought about that.
I keep wondering how Vigilante disappears so fast. The roof thing threw me, and also the T-Sphere. I mean, I would have thought that would have been – that would have taken him out, and they could have caught him and found out who it was, but it was just gone. So I don't know. My only other thought – I don't think it's a meta either, but my only other thought – this sounds weird, but not like a figment of their imagination, because I don't know how that would work, but not really there. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense. I have no idea. I don't have an explanation for it.
Well, yeah, because I mean, they were tracking the piece of the, there's actually, you know, tech that this character is using that is physical that, you know, they can hold and
mm-hmm.
uses different kind of bullets every week or every time they see him. So they can't track him. Obviously has a huge, cache of weapons. I mean, this guy almost puts the Punisher to shame, it looks like. So the things that are at odds with me is with my idea here is that this character is a gun user. But the disappearing stuff really puts me in the camp of this person's trained with the League of Assassins. This person's a member of the League of Assassins.
Well, that makes sense. Makes sense in a comic booky way.
Yeah, exactly. But the League of Assassins, you know, from what we've seen so far, are not gun users. They're sword, you know, they're old school melee weapons, swords, bows and arrows, other bladed weapons and stuff like that.
Sure, but we've seen people go against the League of Assassins before.
True.
I mean, like, you know, like former League of Assassins doing other things that
agreed on. Maybe this person had some training at some point or something like that. Because then I was like, oh, maybe it's Talia, but that's also kind of ridiculous. Even though there's a voice modulator, something going on, you know, there's a mask. It would be definitely easy to hide the female form in the armor and the body armor and all that kind of stuff. So the one thing that, even with all of the weird stuff that's been going on, that takes me back to the beginning is when Prometheus got his arm cut and Quentin showed up with the arm cut. I'm still wondering how they're going to explain that, if they ever are. They've never really addressed that. Now, granted, it could be that, you know, if Chase was the DA, he had access to Quentin, and Quentin was having drinking blackouts and stuff like that. So, you know, it could have been totally possible that, you know, he had access to do that to him, to, you know, set him up. But I don't know. So, okay, want to talk about Thea a little bit. She's been taking a dark turn, as we talked about last week, very much like Moira. I thought it was interesting this week that she pointed out it was very – that the way she is acting and reacting now is very similar to her bloodlust that she was having last season from her resurrection in the Lazarus pit from being dead, which let's remember that, you know, she has visited the great beyond, and that it's, instead of it manifesting as like a bloodlust, it's that she wants to, you know, dig up dirt on people and squash them politically. Do you think that her absence recently is responsible for her change in attitude?
Or like wherever she was?
Yeah. Do you think that has anything to do with it, or is it really just that they didn't write her in because they only had contractual so many, you know, the economics of making the TV show, they only contracted her for so many episodes for the season and stuff, and that you just had to not have her in the episode? Or do you think they're going to write something else in? Is something else going on with her?
It might have something to do. We don't really know with where she was. I think they're just kind of evolving the character. But one interesting thing I found, I know you and I have talked about how a lot of these season 5 episodes have reflected the first season episodes. And I thought there might be something about a big reveal of a character in that. I was trying to kind of connect it to the Prometheus reveal. But I didn't see anything like that so much. But what I did find in the 15th episode of season 1, Moira decides that she wants out of their little group that they were doing for the undertaking that Malcolm Merlyn was kind of in charge of.
Right.
And she is trying to get, you know, Malcolm Merlyn killed because he was doing this bad stuff. And she kind of wanted out of that whole thing. And, you know, Thea decides, whoa, you know, I got to get away from this. Not like it's Oliver's fault, but maybe that she's starting to go down that path.
Interesting.
So I just thought that was one little connection. I don't even know if that was purposeful, but it was a kind of a reflection of season one. And
I was thinking that a little bit. Yeah.
My other thought was that maybe they are pushing her more again towards the Speedy character, the Speedy persona, and putting her back on the streets as a character, especially if Green Arrow is going to be having some issues here.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just not sure what they want to do with the character right now. It seems like they might not know exactly what they want to do with the character. She's, you know, this seems like a really rapid onset change here, because it's just been the past couple episodes, but she's only been back for, you know, 2 or 3 episodes here. So, same kind of thing is happening with Felicity as well. She is, I can't remember if it was her or Diggle, but when they were talking about how, you know, characters have been embracing the darkness.
Uh-huh.
She's, you know, she's falling into this as well, wanting to use the Pandora data cache, you know, to help everybody, but ignoring the cost. I was really interested in hearing John point out to her that, you know, it's a weapon. And she's like, no, it's not. And I feel like they are downplaying her smartness. I can see from a character standpoint that she may, you know, you could say she is just, she's ignoring what the consequences are because, you know, she wants to just pay attention to the benefits for it and that she is, you know, purposefully not thinking about the ramifications of the use of this data as a weapon or something like that. But
yeah,
given the destruction that her character inadvertently inflicted on the town of Haven Rock last season and how much that affected her, now... And that was for people she didn't know, and it was, you know, a lot of people. It was sort of a mass destruction. Now she is taking surgical pieces of data and attacking individuals and, you know, could be destroying their life. I mean, this, you know, the whole thing with this one council member, it's like he wants to hide this. It's like, why does he want to hide this? You know, it was his wife actually committed suicide and stuff, and it's like, well... You know, maybe he's got a reason he doesn't want to bring up the fact that his wife really killed herself. It's, you know, it's something he doesn't want to relive. It doesn't change anything necessarily, whether you know that his wife killed herself or died. I mean, I guess it could bring up a lot of questions with in the political arena. It's like, well, why did she want to kill herself?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's maybe she had a... schizophrenia or something like that, and she didn't know what she was doing, and she killed herself. We don't know what it is, and I thought it was an interesting what I want to say, John. The way John counseled her about this, I thought it was really interesting that he presented this to her. You know, in the way that he did it, it made me think about things in a slightly different light, a way that I might not have thought about him normally.
Yeah, I thought about Felicity in this too, and why she would decide to, you know, continue going with this when we know that she generally is a pretty ethical person and likes to do what we would consider the right decisions. Given her past, I mean, this is kind of how she started as a cyber
hacker.
I don't know. Yeah, hacker.
Oh,
I guess.
You know, cyber terrorist kind of.
Yeah, I didn't want to say terrorist. I wanted, but that's kind of what it was. You know, where they were doing online stuff and going after, you know, the man, and so that's where she came from. You know, that was kind of her origins, what she used to do. We know that, and also then you brought up too having the guilty conscience of having caused Haven Rock. Yeah, I think it would change who you were, and you may want to do more and may want to try to make a bigger difference. And I think that's what she sees. She also sees all of her friends going out and on the streets physically and making a difference. Even Curtis, and Curtis isn't giving up. Curtis is continuing the fight. Despite the fact that number one, he isn't as skilled as everybody else as physically, even though he's, you know, in pretty good shape. And number two, now as of this week, he's lost virtually everything. So, you know, I think she sees that and thinks she can do more. And that's a combination of all that is making her make these decisions.
Hmm.
She's human.
Yeah.
She's smart, but she's still human.
Yeah. And I just, you know, part of me is like, I feel like she's smarter than this. But, you know, I think they're trying to write her into a place where they want to take her down a little bit. You recall season 2 or season 3 when they took Laurel and they they took her down, and they kept taking her down, and they took her down even further. I don't remember specifically our discussions, but I know that I didn't like a lot of that because I felt it wasn't necessary, but we discussed the fact that they had to take the character. I think you posited the fact that they had to take the character to these depths so that they could bring her back up and really rebuild her in a way that I think we all really ended up liking. And they may be trying to do the same thing with Felicity, just taking her down to such a dark area that they can rebuild her in a new way, in a new light, so that she's a character that, you know, fans that don't like her now can like her. I don't know.
That's interesting. I'm okay with that, actually. I mean, even if that's what they're doing, I'm okay with it.
And in the counseling sessions here with Diggle, he uses the title. He tells her that we get to fight fire with fire, but lets her know that, you know, we risk being burned. It's just a saying. I don't even know where. I didn't even bother trying to look it up because I didn't know that you could actually come up with where this came from. But, you know, maybe you could. I did too much homework the other week, so now I'm not doing it at all.
No, you're good. You're good.
My only problem with the use of the title there is that no less than 2 minutes later, Oliver said the exact same lines because he was quoting Diggle again. But, you know, because obviously Susan didn't hear the speech, so Oliver was going to tell her what was said. But the audience heard the speech, and I felt that was a little rough in the way that they presented it. I would have liked to have, you know, at least have him change around what he was saying a little bit, just to paraphrase it or
yeah, they could have. Although it was an interesting bookend to Felicity's decision later on when she kind of took that advice and twisted it around to make it work for. Mm-hmm. What she really wanted to do.
Right. Well, she's like, oh, you're right. I do have to fight fire with fire. It's like, no, you missed the point of the discussion.
I don't even know why we bother to talk to each other anymore. It's just people just do what they want, and then they twist your words around and justify what they're doing.
I mean, it's the data cache is called Pandora. I mean, you know, look it up. It's not a good story. It's got a, you know, there's a reason for the story. It's to tell us, you know, how to react to things like this that we don't understand. I don't know.
I'm all for them, giving these characters interesting things to do. So, I said go for it, but you're right. I mean, she is smart. She should know better, but she's also smart, and she knows she's smart. So that can sometimes come back and bite you if you think, well, you know what? I'm smart. I can take care of this. I can control this. I'm not going to let it do anything that it shouldn't do. I'm not going to let it take me down that path.
I can control the fire.
There you right? go.
I'll keep it in the fireplace, and I can play with it, and it's not going to burn me, but you always end up getting hurt, or somebody always ends up getting hurt. So.
Yep.
And the person, as you pointed out, that got hurt the most this week has got to be Curtis.
Oh, poor Curtis.
Paul grabbed him by the balls and said he was going to divorce him. So I was really hoping that they're going to get him back together. And I figured it was going to be like, you know, they were just going to have a rough time, but they were going to be back together. That actually really took me by surprise. And I'm sorry that, you know, that's not working out for him. And I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Curtis's character, because like you said, he's lost it all. He's poured himself into the job now because of something that Renee told him. So now he is, you know, he's very much confident again with his work, but that's all he has.
It is all he has. But I think at least now with this, at least with Paul ending it, I think he can start a new chapter in his life and really be dedicated to helping people and being a hero like he wants to be. So, you know, at least there's that. And I've never been as confident in your prediction about him and Renee getting together than I was this week, because Renee was very sympathetic to him after finding everything out and their kind of interactions. So yeah, well, I think you might be right about that.
I don't know. After we got Renee's backstory. I think Renee is just like, I think that's a good shoulder to cry on. I think they're just becoming compadres. I don't think they're really going to get together. I mean, I think it was an interesting idea at the time, but I don't know.
One night, you know, just they're just hanging out in the cave and, you know.
Wild dog, I think I love you, but I want to know for sure. And then we got to see the doctor again that was taking care of Oliver. Yeah. I had Dr. Schwartz, I believe was her name. And
that was cool.
So she's the one that helped Oliver last year, middle of last year, I think it was. And I had a note somewhere that, you know, she knew his identity at that point because she figured it out because she's smart. Like so many people could be. And she's kept his secret. So we've also talked about, you know, is Oliver going to come out and are more people going to know? There are a number of people that do know he's the Green Arrow and for whatever reason are choosing to keep the secret. Prometheus is doing it for an ulterior motive. Dr. Schwartz is doing it because she may feel it's part of her oath. It's just, you know, it's like, I think it's a good idea for her to do that. Susan has said she wants to keep the secret. You know, the team keeps it because that's the way of protecting themselves as well. So some interesting dynamics being set up here. And I'll be interested to see if you know, the doctor has anything more to do as we go on, or if this was just kind of a, we needed a doctor and this is a good, you know, we can bring this character back.
So. I like that she was giving him advice, though, and, you know, giving him – she was giving the Green Arrow advice.
She said it wasn't necessarily girlfriend advice. It was just – it could be just friend advice, the fact that Oliver took it as girlfriend advice. I'm thinking that at that point I was thinking because stuff wasn't working with Susan, he wasn't able to get her on the phone. This is their way of – kind of dismissing Susan so they can move on towards a Black Canary Green Arrow relationship, you know, with Dinah. But, you know, it seemed like he was kind of getting back with Susan, but if Susan's been kidnapped by Prometheus, that may not end well for one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think Oliver is going to be dating Prometheus anytime soon.
Oh, so, see, I thought the doctor was hitting on him. So I just thought she was saying, hey, give me a call. Hey, you know,
I don't doubt that either. she may have been doing that. So I think we got a few pieces of feedback here. You wanna go over some of these here?
Sure. Some of these, Craig on Twitter, he just said we were talking a little bit about whether Oliver would be he would be responsible for Malone's death legally, right?
Yeah, right, yeah, and, the other week, right.
Yeah, and Craig said that, you know, Arrow would still be liable for Malone's death. A mistaken belief about the intended target can still result in murder. And I can totally understand that point of view. I mean, he was really ultimately trying to kill mm-hmm. Prometheus. So either way, I guess he was
the intent was murder, yeah.
Yep, that's right.
I'll just add right here that this tweet does not constitute legal advice.
that's asterisk. Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Armando said that, hey, in light of the recent episode, could Vigilante be someone else that we've seen?
Raisa.
And it's Raisa, the Raisin Maid, I'm telling you. I think it is, but I'm not sure who it could be. I guess it still could be Quentin. I just don't know. It can't be Quentin. Quentin was in the limo when it blew up.
Yeah, it can't be Quentin. And I was thinking Thea. It can't be Thea because she was there. And it can't be Dinah. And it can't be Oliver. It can't be Oliver from this Earth. It could be Adrian Talia. Chase from another Earth.
Could be Talia.
It could be Talia. It could be Roy. I saw somebody saying it still could be Tommy, who's come back to life. But I don't know why he necessarily...
My theory is bad. Oh, well, anyway. All right. So, well, I don't know. I do think it's someone else, but I'm not sure who. Clearly, we don't know.
Yeah.
And finally, Benjamin said, you know, it's weird people are so quick to impeach Oliver. It's not like there's a huge lineup of people wanting to take his place.
Right. It just means that they'd have to find another person to be mayor, and what a pain in the butt that is.
Yeah, so. I don't know. There's somebody. I wonder who's next in line. They'd be like, no, don't impeach him. No, please.
For whatever reason, Quentin would probably be the next one in line. I'm sure that's not exactly how the chain of succession works, but in Star City, it probably is just weird like that. I don't know. No real references this week, but one thing I did notice, which I thought was kind of clever, you kind of have to look at this closely, and it's really based on the orientation of the windows and the front door, but the restaurant where Curtis goes to meet Paul is really just a redressed CC Jitter set from The Flash. I mean, and it's like really redressed, like all, you know, there's the tables are all different and the window coverings and there's different stuff on the walls and the way the front door is a little bit different, but just the physical orientation of that set, where the windows are, where the door is, they can't really change that. And I think if you grabbed photos of both scenes, put them over the top of each other, they would line up perfectly.
That's a popular restaurant design.
It's a very cookie cutter kind of design, right? It's all the strip malls are using this this layout. So who knows? So, well, like we said, a lot of revelations, a lot of new questions. Unfortunately, got to wait an extra week here. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. But for now, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us some feedback on iTunes. Just pop over there and type something up real quick for some positive messages to people so they can listen too. Or if you want to just contact us, you can send us an email. Our email address is greenjustice@randomchatter.com. Or you can find us over on Twitter, like Craig, Armando, and Benjamin did, @GreenJusticePod. And also you can visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GreenJusticePodcast.
And you can check out the other shows that we host here at randomchatter.com, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is on hiatus until April 4th. That week, and Scarlet Velocity of Flash podcast, where we have been monkeying around for the past 2 weeks. All shows are also available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, use word of mouth, tell your friends about us, get the word out there. That's still the best way for people to find out about us. If you know people that watch the TV show, let them know about the podcast. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.